we will begin with a reflection on the sharings last night, just to bring us back into the theme of what it means to be a mystic. So just reflect on what was inspiring, fresh, new, challenging. Just yourself and Baba. Let it be a conversation with Baba. Personal. You might like to focus on the topic of truth, of love, of courage, or any of the themes that were brought up last night. Now connected with the theme of the retreat, Bab Saman, the journey and the destination. I may not have reached the destination, but I'm certainly on the journey. I'm more like Baba than anyone else. difference between the BKs and all other paths is that we have the aim to become like God. This would be a sin to say within many religions. And if we don't become like God, we will become just like any other religion. A mystic is not a follower. A mystic seeks to know the self and know God. And to experience constant connection that takes the soul beyond any situation that is happening, either to the self or in the world. Time when everything will reach its extreme. shall be the fires of destruction all around. But the mystic will rise above and just see that the gates of the new world are now opening. They won't be caught in seeing the horrendous, the terrible, the sad scenes of the time. Baba says we'll be dancing with ankle bells during that most challenging time, and in our hearts will only be the thought, it's time to go home, it's time to go beyond. Our golden age is now coming, and everyone that we are seeing in sorrow are all now being liberated. So the question to ask the self, if I don't become like Baba, how will I face those final moments? Baba reminds us again and again to have a loving intellect at the time of destruction. And that we need to practice this over a long period of time. So that I can not only rise above, but take others with me. Just through a glance. And now just in these last few minutes, create an image of how you see yourself in that end time, and the role that you'll be playing. So, you know, if we listen to the Muli as a mystic, you know, that's what I would like to suggest, that in the next few weeks, you listen to the Muli as a mystic under training. And you will be re-amazed. I'm sure you've been amazed already, but just to think about what Baba's saying to us, like the role that he's not just expecting, he's seeing that we are going to play at the end. At one time, Baba said, we will be master gods. That when we look at others, they will feel forgiven. I mean, who would have thought we would play that role, right? That's such a God role, right? God can do that. But Baba said, we have to do that. That they'll feel forgiven, that things will be let go of. It will be past. So what level of forgiveness do we need to be able to be a master God? You know, there has to be no trace of any judgment, any right and wrong. Just, I mean, how does Baba see our right and wrong? How does he see it? He sees it in the big picture. Anything that we, any habits that we've developed, any kind of things that are not so pleasant, if you really think about it, it's all just been survival, right? We put up all these facades, we carry, you know, an ego to protect ourselves. We think we need to hold on to things because we've just had this very strong sense of survival, and for a reason. You know, we've been through the Copper Age and the Iron Age, and things have been really, really hard. People have been very harsh with us. We've been harsh with others too. But just think how we've had to survive in this jungle for the last 2,500 years. So not having, you know, the spirituality, which we lost according to the drama, that also had to happen. But we've just been clutching at things to protect ourselves. But now the big shift we need to make is away from survival to flourishing, to spiritual, to soul consciousness, right? A soul doesn't think in terms of survival. Is that right? Does a soul think about survival or a... But just as yesterday we were saying, you know, we're a yajna and we have an institution. We're a soul and we have a body. And it's really the body, to a great extent also, that we've had to look after and protect. And, you know, so we've become so body conscious, so lost. We didn't know who we were, which we were talking about yesterday, that time of chaos. But now it's the confluence age. So it's time to... you know, to listen to God, to be in training and to move from that survival state into a soul conscious state. And it can be even said we move from survival into creativity, because there's only one or the other happening at any one time. Even if you're under threat, you will either go into survival mode, which is usually like a closing down or running, or, you know, like they say, fight or flight, or creative, right? And we think, you know, very smart how to move out of this situation. And interestingly, in, you know, I've been so interested in creativity for some time, and the word creative comes from the word creator. And until the time of the Enlightenment, all creativity was considered to be godly. It was all to do with God. So even all the art and everything, there was the the belief, the experience that it all came from God, everything came from God. At least I'm talking about the Christian, you know, the Christian kind of or Western journey. But during the Age of Enlightenment, which was very great because it took people out of blind faith and subservience and a lot of things that had kind of become entrenched in religion and empowered the people. So it was really great that the people were empowered, right? But what happened is we threw out God at that time also. That was the time we kind of thought we don't need God. People are also great. People can create, people can think, people can, you know, do great things. We don't need to depend solely on God, but basically they were saying on the religions, because God had been kind of claimed by the religions, and, you know, things were already corrupted in that sense. So now when we think of creativity, again, let's take it back to God, because any real creativity that we nurture and nourish in the self, when we're an instrument for that, when it's got that divinity in it, it's so different than my creation, isn't it? What's your experience? You know, it's just so different, and it's so much greater and so much more beyond human ability. And any people you talk to who've been to Madhuban, who work in the creative field, whether they've come here for peace of mind or whether they're a BK, that's usually the experience they share, that once they've kind of awoken to their spirituality, that their creativity is so much enhanced and beyond what they ever were doing before. Have you heard that? I've heard that from so many people, people who were, you know, poets. They said, now I write poetry, like it just doesn't stop because something awakened. So, and in connection with this and the end, Baba says that we, at the end, this was, you know, in the 70s or early 80s, we will need the viceless wireless. And in those days, we were using wireless, right? And nowadays, Wi-Fi, and it's all come back to a very real thing that, you know, it's just like how dependent we are on Wi-Fi. Right, we can't do hardly anything without Wi-Fi, right? Our communications, our work, we so much depend on Wi-Fi. But we need to have this viceless wireless so that we can get touchings from Baba. So we know what to do, where to go, which direction to turn. And there's been so many experiences of people in life-threatening situations who got this kind of touching. And why I'm talking about these two things, Baba talks about touching and catchings. So we get these touchings and we catch the signals from Baba. But we're, I think, all a little bit afraid of that whole area, because Maya can come in there very, very easily, right? And we can get carried away with our own touchings and inspirations. So, you know, there's a fear. There's a fear of ego. I think we all have that fear of ego because we know the illusions that it can lead us into. And yesterday, one of the points was that most of our pain comes from an illusion, and illusions lead to more illusions. So we don't want illusions. However, it is so essential as we move forward now to be able to receive those touchings. Because Baba says what we need at the end will be that viceless wireless so we can receive the touchings. Because I don't know what kind of situations all of you have been in, but, you know, very often in Madhuban here, we get to hear stories of people living in all kinds of conditions. I mean, I haven't had the kind of experiences that many have, like in earthquakes, in, you know, tsunamis, in all kinds of situations. Anyone here has been through a really major life-threatening situation? Only one, two. Yeah. But that's why it's so good to be a global family and to meet other BKs, because you sit down and talk to someone from the other side of the world and you go, wow, I could not even imagine. Like some of the centers in, like, for example, Sri Lanka or South America, they, you know, don't even have running water. You know, some centers in Africa, they have no electricity for... You've lived in Africa, no? You must have been through many of these things, you know, not putting your hand up. But we are so used to our comforts, you know, and securities. And they're all, like, so temporary now. I remember when Daddy asked me to go to Pakistan for a few months. Somebody luckily warned me. Didi Nirmala said... Because I was supposed to meet Daddy and she was busy. She said, she's going to ask you to go to Pakistan. I said, thanks for the heads up. Thanks for letting me know so I can think about it. Because immediately I had fear. I thought, Pakistan, I mean, that's where you get kidnapped and where murders happen and things. And I was afraid. I mean, this, you know, really, can I go there? And so I had a little time to think about it before going to see Daddy and sat with Baba, and really very clearly the thought came, well, the whole world's going to be like that soon. You're just getting a little taste of what's to come. You better take this opportunity because, you know, that's the way it's going to be everywhere very soon. I mean, it is already in many places like that. But how we're living now and the... kind of any kind of normal living is not going to last for long. Like you just see Australia, you know, these fires that lasted for 4 months. No one would have guessed or imagined that it would last so long. And there's so much trauma in people because of it. So, you know, we need to be the mystics that can go beyond everything. And that's what I was saying, the main description of a yogi is someone who can be in equilibrium in all things. So even when we come to Madhuban, we get a little test of that because many people are used to central heating, are used to, you know, so many comforts that we have at home. It's just a little experience we can have of stretching some of those comfort zones. But take any opportunity that you have to stretch, because we all need to stretch ourselves in that way. And going back to these touchings and catchings, what do you think about these? Are any of you feeling that you get touchings from Baba? Anyone? Okay. Yeah. And we have our seniors, so it's not like if we get a major touching, we just, you know, do it, because we've got to check and balance. We call it check and balance, right? That we have a senior that we can check with, because unless we've got the blessings behind it, you know, it's better to at least wait, if not let go, but at least wait. So when I've lived in Asia for 30 years. I went back to Australia for 4 years. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work for me. And like the, you know, yesterday it said, don't blame anyone for something that would have happened anyway. So probably it would have happened wherever I was on the planet, because if it's the time to go through something, you have to go through it, you know. So, but it was really not, I was just really not in myself at all. And one morning, very clearly, Baba, I just got this touching at 4 o'clock. Go to Taiwan and open a center. Just like that. Not something I was thinking about, but it was interesting that it happened when Dr. Nirmala was in Australia. So the next day I asked her, what do you think? You know, so it's not like if you get a touching, you just go and do it. No matter what, it's Baba's touching. Baba gave me this touching. I don't care what you say. This came from Baba. That's where we could get in a little trouble because, you know, you don't know where the touchings come from, you know. And anyway, we are fortunate to have this guidance. And yeah, so that's why I'm in Taiwan. But, you know, many times there's been this, you know, and when I say those things to Didi, like one time she wanted me to go to this center. I moved from Hong Kong, such a busy, busy, noisy, noisy place. I went to Australia, was enjoying the retreat center. Then she tried to move me next to Sydney Railway Station. I thought, is this some kind of a joke? There's nowhere in the whole of Australia that's more like Hong Kong than that place. But I just, and then when I sat for meditation with Baba just very lightly said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. So after Amrit Vela, I said to Didi, Baba said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. And she looked at me because, you know, when you have it still in your, you know, your Baba kind of connection, there's something in that. And she didn't react, you know, she just, But, you know, there's such sweetness when we can connect with Baba. And why touchings are important also is because they're our personal relationship. You know, they come in different ways. Another way was when I was in Australia another time and went to live in Cambodia. And the people in the retreat center were saying, why are you there? Why don't you come back here? And I enjoyed that retreat center a lot. And I was feeling pulled, you know, and I was thinking, yeah, why am I in Cambodia? I should come back here. But I was asked to go there. And when I sat in meditation, it's not that I heard any words, but when my mind went to Cambodia, just this zzz, that's all it was. It was just like zzz. And it was so clear that's where I'm meant to be, just from that zzz. I don't know how to describe it, but it was just like there was an energy, you know, with that thought, Cambodia. And then after that, I was so clear that that's where I'm meant to be. So I didn't feel pulled at all. I didn't have any confusion. I felt so grateful that I knew where I'm meant to be, because sometimes we're not sure. So I was so grateful to Baba for just making it clear. So, you know, these touchings are something we need to develop. And the way we develop it is by having what Baba says, like that blank paper. What does he call it? It's like a blank paper. Plain, that's the word. Plain intellect, not a planning intellect. Many of us are good at having a planning intellect, but we have to balance that. It's also good, but balance it with a plain intellect. And definitely in meditation, and especially at Amrit Vela, it's the plain intellect that can really receive. And so, you know, if we can master our mind, and we know that that is the goal, that we can think whatever we want to think for as long as we want to think it, you know, that's the goal. It's not always that easy to attain, but we need to empty, make our intellect plain so we can catch that. And if we catch those intuitions, we also need to trust them. Because sometimes it's not even, I don't know whether it's from Baba, but sometimes you just get a feeling for something. Like I was doing the Future of Power, and I just got the feeling for no reason. I was really enjoying it, living in India, really enjoying it, and just got this intuitive feeling that I should stop this now. So I gave 1 year's notice. I said, you know, I'm only going to do this for another year. But it was really like my decision, which is very unusual. It's very unusual because usually I wait for direction. And there was no reason, but it just was an intuitive thing. So what I'm also practicing is just following that intuition so that it develops for that reason. Because you'll know if it's not right, you know, but it just seems to... I think we need to develop that intuition if we want the faceless wireless to work. It's all connected. And as we develop our intuition, which to me is like the heart of the intellect, if you could say that. Like there's an intellect, but as our intellect becomes more and more divine, it's not a judgmental kind of thing. It's not so much a discerning thing. It's intuitive. It's intuitive. And even there was a whole big series that I heard about, I didn't see it, but about on doctors, and even the doctors were admitting that with all their training and all their instruments and all their, you know, all that they've studied, at the end of the day, mostly they follow their intuition, because symptoms can be anything. You know, there's only a few symptoms for 100 different ailments. So it can, they said, mostly we follow our intuition. It was so interesting to hear these hard, you know, we think that they're very much on their, you know, left brain, but they're following their intuition. And so, you know, we need to think of ways that we can cultivate and develop that, because it's part of the divine intellect, and I think it's the core of the divine intellect and the, you know, the end result of making our intellect divine. And the Bubba was talking recently about having a clever head and it came from, I think, that Muli, the blessing recently, a clever head and clean heart. And he says, you know, that those with a clever head, they can do amazing things, but it's all what they do. It's all human. I mean, I'm paraphrasing greatly, but it's all, like I can use my clever head and do so many things, but it's different to using a clean heart and doing Bubba's things. You know, there's a whole different level that operates when there's a clean heart. And Ramesh Bhai was saying one time he had a problem with the accounts, and he was stuck somewhere. It wasn't balancing. And he talked to Dadi Prakash Mani, and Dadi looked at it and she said, oh, isn't it something here? She pointed it out. He was ducks, you know, of the whole India in his chartered accountancy. And she just saw it like that. That's, you know, Bubba, isn't it? I mean, that's that clean intellect that can just see. And so as we develop this intuition, we develop that. And also the intuition is very connected with the conscience. So that also is a very, very important facet that we need to redevelop, because what has happened with our conscience is that it's got so mixed up with other voices, we can't hear our own voice of truth. Like we've got, you know, all the rights and wrongs of society, of our teachers, our parents. You know, there's so many voices in there that we can't hear our own little voice. And I tell people when they do the course, especially if they start to become Brahmins, you know, there's so many things, right? Get up at 4 o'clock and do this and don't do this and don't do this and do this. And I say, follow your conscience. First of all, follow your conscience. If you can't do all of this, do what your conscience is telling you to do, because that is the way you'll develop it, but also the way you start to listen to it and reawaken it. But it's got to be not what the BKs are even saying, but what's your conscience saying. And if you follow your conscience, because it's your voice, it knows your pace and when you're ready for things. So it's a very, very key part, I think, to also our growth is our conscience. But very often we can't hear it. So we need to develop the intuition. We need to develop the conscience and hear our own voice. And Mike George very, very powerfully says, your conscience will dictate your life, whether you like it or not. Because it's actually that inner voice that's nagging at you, troubling you, making you sick often. You know, all things happen if you don't listen to your own inner voice. Do you agree with that? I think there's so much truth in that. So whether I like it or not, my conscience will dictate. So why not, you know, get to know it, develop it, listen to it, you know, make it so alive for ourselves. And again, it's all part of that divine intellect. So if we're able to, you know, have the courage to start to claim back, in a way, it's like claiming back your own conscience rather than having given it to society and teachers and whoever else you gave it to. Claim it back again and develop this intuition so that we can start to awaken as the mystic. So there was just a few things I was going to share. So it's great that it's Valentine's Day, because from the end of this until tonight, what we're going to be focusing on is love, because all this is, I think, very important for the mystic. But I don't know about your experience, but for me, it's always the love that's the most easiest way to connect with Baba, the most enjoyable, the most transformative, and all of that. So we're getting there. And it's Valentine's Day. But I think there's a few very practical outcomes we can see as we develop our mystical side of ourselves. One is coincidences. So the more we are beyond this world, I don't know what words I should use, the more coincidences just kind of easily let life flow. And it goes with what I was saying yesterday. Few leaders realize how little they have to do. Actually, coincidences just help things to fall into place. And especially in Madhuban, this is the land of coincidences, isn't it? And I remember one time I was asked to find three people for an interview. They were guests here. And I was asked that here in Gyansarovar. And I thought, probably all I have to do is just send out the thought and they will appear at the right place at the right time. You know, in Madhuban, that's all you have to do. But if I do that and it doesn't work, people will say, you lazy thing. And so one is I wasn't trusting that it would, you know, 100% I didn't trust that it would work, but 90% I thought it would work. So I went to Pandav Bhava and I left messages here and there. It was before mobile phones and I did so much effort and I didn't find the people, but I left messages everywhere. So three people to be interviewed plus two people to do the interview, you know, with the cameras and that. Then I went to the place that we were supposed to meet at the time. They all turned up and I said, oh, you got my message. They all said, no. So that was an interesting experience, because I thought, oh, I wasted a lot of energy, whereas I knew if you just have the thought, it will happen. But it's just something to be aware of, because, you know, coincidence is also kind of tuning into it. And interestingly, I used to teach a group of 24 managers at a hotel, and I asked them about their coincidence. Can you imagine? Do you ever have coincidences? All of you have coincidences? Yeah. These 24 people said they never had coincidences. Never. I couldn't believe it. I thought everyone had coincidences. So I asked them, okay, for the next 2 weeks until we meet again, just note if you think of someone they call or if you think of someone you bump into them. After 2 weeks we met again, only one person had three coincidences all connected with me. Wasn't that interesting? Yeah, and he was the organizer, so he was connected with me. The others still know. And I think what it was is they're all, you know, managers in five-star hotels. You can't leave a lot to chance when people are paying so much money, right? So it's like they really are very organized and all of that. But I met them again after about 6 months and I said, do you ever have coincidences now? And they said, what do you mean? All the time. Like as if, like, what are you talking about? Of course we do. How it changed just with awareness and allowing it. You know, so it's like you have to almost invoke it so that it happens more as well. But I think there's a certain frequency that we must be in. Like, why is it that Madhuban happens so much? Like, you know, you'd be one time I was walking along and I mentioned someone, I went like that and I touched them. They were just walking past like this. I mean, it just, all the time, these coincidences happen. So, and they make life fun. They make life magical and very easy. You know, one time I was getting on a bus and you have to give the exact money and I just needed 10 cents. I looked down at my feet, there was 10 cents. I picked it up. I mean, so much happiness you get from a little thing like that, not because of the 10 cents, but the magic. So a mystic is also a magical life. It's not a kind of logical. There's logical and there's magical. And I think that also is what we need to play with between the yajna, which is the mystical and the magical, and the institution, which is the logical and the planning and all of that. And, you know, it's not that I'm saying the institution's not important and valuable. It's as valuable as my body is to my soul. It is very important and very valuable, but we need to pay attention to both and not one or the other, but to both. So when we're developing this coincidence, we just lighten up. I think that's one of the main things. When we open to coincidences, when coincidences start to make life very easy, we just lighten up. And then very similar to that in a way is synchronicity. So synchronicity usually is involved with more people, you know, like it's usually in relationship. So synchronicity means that the whole is greater than the parts. Like each finger can do something great, but nothing like a hand. You know, any one finger can't do a thousandth of what a hand can do. And when there's that kind of unity, and Bridge Moonby once said, just as we need P and U, plutonium and uranium for the atomic bomb, plutonium and uranium, right? So we need P and U, purity and unity, for the Paramatma bomb. And Baba's been emphasizing lately on this unity. So purity, I mean, there's nothing like the power of purity. It is such a power. Purity and unity. And there's nothing like unity when you get this happening. And for that, Baba always says, you know, that we need to have one thought. So that, and that's a very interesting thing because we're all different. Like I said, Didi said, I'll never agree with Daddy Janky, this is what I think. But even though we're individuals, we all have our own personalities. We all have our own kind of value system almost in a way. Still, we need to have this unity. Even though, and this is also, like, I think this is the challenge to the institution, because the yajna, it's more me and Baba. There's not much, you know, concern for others, but within the institution, we're being trained to work together, to make decisions together, to, you know, this, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy anywhere, and especially amongst leaders, because all of us are masters of the world, so not easy when you get 10 masters of the world trying to unify. So, you know, like we've been described as eagles, right? We're all eagles, we're not little pigeons following each other, we're eagles, so it's not easy, but that's the kingdom. I think, you know, if you look at it, the institution is what needs to transform into, what were those words? Geopolitical, right? It's on our cycle, geopolitical organization. So we are political in that sense. We are, you know, having to come together and create a whole new kingdom. So the institution is part of that. And as someone over dinner was saying, you know, just as we need to keep this very high spiritual practice in the yajna and in what we understand by that, we need to keep such a level of consciousness in management. And it's like karma yoga, you know, we can have yoga and then when we come into action, we can become action conscious. But it says in the Gita that if you perform karma yoga, you will not incur any sin. It says in the Gita, higher than worship is meditation. Higher than meditation is yoga. Higher than yoga is karma yoga. It is in a way, isn't it? Because it's putting that into action, it's not that hard to sit in meditation and have very elevated thoughts, but to come into action and work with other people and still have that kind of consciousness, we all know it's not that easy. So it's and this is what Sudesh Didi was saying yesterday, we need to act. It's not enough. Or was it today with Mira anyway? In the morning class, we were hearing this. You know, it's a matter of putting into action what we're learning. So the mystic is not just something airy-fairy. You know, the mystic also needs to know how to work within the institution, with the institution. And, you know, it's just so interesting, the whole challenge that we are called for at the moment. So coincidences, synchronicity, and of course that comes from cooperation. And as someone said, cooperation means to ask yourself, what can I do now that will add to this situation? It could be when we're sitting in meditation, it could be a task. And sometimes to do nothing is the best thing you can do, rather than trying to help, you know. So it's like, what can I do? That's to live with a cooperative attitude. What can I do to help this situation? And the other thing is the mystic trusts and experiences God's protection. And Baba has said to us time and again, use me, use me. And I think this is a good thing to remember. And I think, you know, we haven't had Baba with us for 2,500 years. I mean, forget golden and silver age because we didn't need him. But for 2,500 years, we've needed help and we didn't have it. We didn't have God. So we got used to depending on ourselves and having to work things out. But we don't have to do that now. We've got God in our life. And he says, use me. So to really use Baba so that it becomes something just very natural and very dependable. And one very nice example of this was Dadi Janki, you know, years ago, like when she was young, like she was maybe 80 or 90, Dadi Prakash Mani said to her, someone should sleep in your room because anything can happen any time and, you know, someone's there to help you. And of course she wouldn't have any of that. And then Dadi Prakash Mani said, okay, well at least put a bell next to the bed so that if you need any help, you can ring the bell. Is it a good idea? Is it a good idea? It sounds very practical, logical. You know what Dadi said? Do you want me to remember human being when I need help? Right? She said, Baba's there. And if he doesn't come, then it's okay. I'm ready to go. You know, it's like very... But what a wonderful way to think, no? You want me to remember a human being when I need help? So this is the use me protection and faith. And again, from the Gita it says, you can tell a person by their faith. You can tell a person by their faith. That's very deep, isn't it? So it's faith in Baba, faith in the self, faith in drama. But you can tell a person by their faith. And I started with the touchings and catching. So yeah, that was the other thing there. So these are the kinds of things that mystics need to work on. You know, they won't just happen, I don't think. Well, they will, they can, but that's another thing. Many things can happen, but that happens through kind of a grace. You know, a grace where we kind of get a gift. And we can experience a gift. Like sometimes you'll be just sitting doing nothing and Baba comes out of the blue, like, and you don't even know why he's there now. You know, what did you do to invoke him? Maybe nothing, right? You've all experienced the grace or Baba helping at a time of need where you didn't really seem to have worked towards that or earned it in a way. But that's a different thing. That's kind of a bit like spiritual luck. And it's maybe it's our past karma that brings that into being, or I don't know what that is, grace. And it's very, very, very important in our life and it's very real. However, that's there. However, we are Raj Yogis. We have been trained and taught and we practice how to make things happen also. There's both sides. Like we know that if we practice the meditation properly, we will get the result. But sometimes you just get some great experience out of the blue, you know. But, you know, for me, I know that if I practice what I understand as the practice of Raj Yoga, it works. And that to me is that I really focus on one thing, like concentrate on one quality, one virtue, one insight. If I can stay focused, I get the experience. So that's what I think is the practice. And it works when I do it, but I don't always have that self-discipline to do that. Is that your experience? Yeah? But, you know, what there are kind of real methods that Baba's taught us for yoga, for meditation, and all of these things. So we can really practice those to get the experiences. So we can, you know, we need to be very clear also about yoga. I mean, that's another thing. Often we're not very clear about how to do yoga or even how to do meditation. Interesting, in India, if you ask someone in India, what's the word for meditation? Any Indians here? What's the word for meditation? What is the word for meditation, brother? Huh? Dhyan. And what do you understand by dhyan? Concentration. Yeah. But very often you'll ask Indians and they'll say, I don't know, it's yoga, isn't it? But there's two things. Meditation, which is really this kind of practice of concentrating the mind and training and clearing out our stuff. And there's yoga, which is connection. One is doing our work to clean up. And the other one is you know, opening to the light. So, you know, we've got all of this, and Baba's training us as mystics, as really his helpers, because I don't know what you felt in the meditation when you were asked, what will you be doing? What will you look like at that time at the end? So maybe this is a good time to pause and let people share that, their insights from last night, what we'll be doing at the end, what are the practices. So what is your stage now as a mystic, and how do you see yourself in the next maybe 2-3 years, the end? I don't know when the end is, but doesn't look like it's very far away, does it? Doesn't look like it from the world situation that's going on. So, you know, it's good to now break into maybe groups of four and just start to unpack some of these things, share experiences with each other, because all of you, many of you have a lot of experience. So you can sit with new people if you want to. You can sit with people from your own kind of spiritual age group, and just really, there's one question, and that is, am I a mystic? Am I a mystic? So just to think about that, how many of you really feel you are a mystic? Yes, that's why you're here, right? So what do I need to do to develop that state of being a mystic? And then one person from your group to come back and share some insight from your discussion. So maybe till 11:30 we will have this little group discussion. So a significant amount of time for a proper deep conversation, and then come back and share with the group what one main insight you learned from each other, you shared or developed together. Is that okay? So just being aware of language groups. So just can people see the other people that speak their language? Because this kind of depth is good in your own language, but also it's great to learn from others, because in your own country where you're always speaking the same language, you don't always get to hear other people. So in this intimate gathering, if people can help each other to understand each other, that's also very good. And just do your best with the language, because I'm aware there's so many languages here. Okay, so if you just get into little groups of four, self-organize. Hello, Om Shanti. So, looks like most finished. I know there are a few groups still. Oh, it's okay, I'll stand up. Yeah, because I can't see anyone there. Thanks. There's only one mic here anyway. So, I trust you had a rich discussion. Some faces are shining. So it'd be nice to hear a little bit from each group. We'll do the Vietnamese groups last, just because then Sen can translate and then come out and be here with us and translate. So who would like to come and share for a minute or two?
Om Shanti. So my name's Samantha, and I'm now in the UK. For many years I was living in Africa, so lots of magic moments there. So we basically shared about, because the word mystic I've never really used for myself, but just you unpacking it, Morni, I really like this idea of magic and looking at the synchronicity of life and how things just work in an amazing way, actually, and how Baba helps. But what we came up with really was this whole idea of the touching and catching power, and really looking at how much can we really trust that, because it really depends on my level of self-confidence and the trust in myself to be able to know and say that this is Baba. And I remember in London, and somebody asked Jente Ben a question after the Murali class about this whole idea of touching and catching power. And she said, not possible, almost, in the sense that your stage has to be so kind of elevated and clear, otherwise there's so much mixture, it's really hard to know whether it's Baba. And I thought, well, I kind of feel that I have had this direct touching from Baba personally. But the way that she said it was kind of like, you can ask the seniors, or from the Murali you get the touching, but you can't get this direct sort of message. That's what she... And I thought, wow, that's kind of strange. And she said it with quite, some kind of force. But I think for myself personally, I do feel that I've had... Baba said, go here. I've really had that experience. Baba said, go to South Africa. And it was really... I felt that Baba had said that. And so really what we wanted to ask you, Morni, is really trusting, really being able to... The relation between trusting ourselves and being able to know that this is really, Baba, and it's not my own mixture, my own desire, because we're not there yet and my sanskaras are playing up every now and again. So how... Is there like a... How do you know? I mean, the way that I know is that things just start flowing and doors open, and that's how I've checked it for myself. But maybe just to add something for the group.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, keep in mind that Sister Jante probably has to deal with so many people who have touchings. They drive her crazy. So I think she probably comes from, oh no, not another touching. So everyone comes from their own perspective, but I think we probably all agree that it's so important. And Baba talks about that touching and catching. Why does he say it in the Murali if he doesn't want us to do it? Right? Is he just playing with us? No, we need to get those touchings and catchings. But as I said, if it's something, a bit significant, then it's good to check with the seniors. Don't take major steps without checking. And even minor steps, like you can run past them, but doesn't mean that they're ready to listen to you. Because I've been like working on one particular thing that, I can hardly talk to seniors about. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to keep pursuing, and that is, does Baba have a language? When he says he speaks through Brahma, I'm interested in all of this, And also that I think Brahma Baba will take birth soon, and I'm not sure we'll have the same easy connection with Shiv Baba when Brahma Baba's not in the subtle regions. But I can't talk to the seniors about Brahma Baba going, because I wouldn't say it to Daddy Janky, that's for sure. They're kind of so... Is it attached? I don't know. I don't know. But I feel we need to prepare. I don't care whether they say it's right or not, because I don't want to be caught out that Baba goes and I wasn't ready for him to go, because I'm very attached to him myself. When I thought of it, I cried, I was like, oh, my strength and my support, both of them, not just Shiv Baba, but both of them. So, and I'm not afraid to keep pursuing something that, but it doesn't... What harm is it going to do? Might do me some harm, but I can't see any harm in it. So most of the things, you can just keep experimenting with and having your own thoughts and talk to people and, So don't be too scared. And that's the point I started with. Don't be afraid. And I think we do get frightened by the seniors. Oh, don't have a touching. It might be mun-mut, Yeah. Yeah, all kinds of touchings. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I just want to also say that, this word mystic, you said you haven't really thought about it much. And in our group, I was thinking, because we were with Asians, and I thought, well, what would be the Asian equivalent of a mystic? What do you think? What would be the Asian equivalent? What? Who said that? Yogi. Exactly. A yogi would be the Asian equivalent of a mystic. Because real yogis, You know, they were really like going off to caves and solitude and experimenting and experiencing. And now yoga's become all, you know, watered down by hatha yoga, you know. But, I mean, even for us, how many of you could say with confidence, I'm a Raj Yogi? It's a very big title. It's not a small thing to say, I'm a Raj Yogi or I'm a yogi. It's kind of, it's like saying I'm a mystic, you know. So, yeah, it's not actually a very foreign word because it's really just a yogi. But it's not just a yogi, it's a yogi, you know. Yeah, it's a yogi. Okay, who's next?
Om Shanti. I am Marika from Holland, and we had a mixed group of two from Holland and two from South Korea and a sister from Malaysia. And for us, in my language, it's also not a common word, so I've never thought about I am a mystic. I don't know what the word is in our country, but I will find out later. But now you have used it. We in our group all liked very much the feeling of, yes, I feel myself a mystic. How you have explained it, we all recognized it and loved the feeling being a mystic. And it made your explanation made ourselves stronger in feeling, oh yes, I can, I am a soul who has the role to connect myself with the divine and not just do have a normal, ordinary part, but I have a very special role. And that's what we were talking about, and about developing ourselves to become more and more subtle, to catch really what Baba wants us to do, and that we everybody we all have a unique part, and to really feel what's my part. So a bit like that, sisters. Do you have something to add? Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because really we are it. You know, we are... Can Baba do anything without us? Can Baba change the world?
No.
Yeah. So when I got that touching to go to Taiwan, it was really a feeling like... I got the feeling... Baba wants to go to Taiwan because he's got children there that aren't being served, 24 million in fact, with no BK there doing any service, just 24 million. And so it was like Baba said, I want to go to Taiwan, will you take me? I said, oh yeah, Baba, I'll take you. And I realized he can't go without one of us. One of us has to go. What can Baba do there alone? So yeah, we are the ones. Who's next?
Om Shanti, it's Ruth from the UK. I volunteered to go next because it fits very much with what's been shared so far. Three of us in our group, Sister Nicole and Sister Patricia and myself, and we spent a lot of time defining mystic. And we came up with, it's someone who touches God, truth, Shiv Baba. Yeah? They may not recognize Shiv Baba, but they are touched by God. They experience God's love and presence. There's a real experience of that, life-changing. And it's a magic contact. Patricia had a nice expression, it's a happy few people who are mystics. And we put ourselves in that number. We're withdrawn from the world, we're surrendered, we know who God is. And we came up with this word yogi as well. And an idea of a continuum, a line. So at one end if this is the low end, low vibrational end, we've got the devotee. And we are on a journey from devotee to a true Raj Yogi. This is the absolute, Vapsaman. And then somewhere along here, on the journey from dark to light, we have experience and we become a mystic in training. And so we're on that route. So we are mystics, but we're not there. And maybe my touchings are not the same touchings that Jentipen gets, so I can understand why she might say that. But mine have been transformational. Just little private experiences that I know it has to be Baba.
For example, one. I know you said
The most recent one last year. I've always had a problem in the sense there's been a deep knowing from day four of the Raja Yoga course. Deep knowing that this is truth and this is God. But that deep knowing and what's happening on the surface in my very busy mind with all my stuff, there's a big difference. And so I've had to build a lot of trust. And I met a moment where it was Brahma Baba. It's like Brahma Baba put his hand out, took my hand and said, I will never let you go. And I needed to hear that. I knew it, but I needed. And now I just need to emerge that Baba. I'm there. And I can be with him wherever he is, whether I feel worthy or not. Yeah? And I've still got a lot of inner work to do, but that's happening. But that had to be God. It couldn't have been anything else. I've had other things as well, but we all have. And I suggest if people don't feel they've had those moments, they just go and sit in Baba's room and say, Baba, remind me. Remind me. And he will. We won't have registered it. Like Baba, sorry, I'm talking too much. But you know, Baba says in the Murali, and this is something else we discussed, there are mystics out there, and we felt that they touch Baba's light, but they don't recognize it. Baba says in the Murali, if he gives a vision of a point of light, what would happen? People aren't looking for that. So Baba's there for every single soul on the planet. But have they recognized? Have they been quiet enough just to notice and feel? And so that's our job. Actually, we were talking about that as well. The idea that many souls are coming to our centers and they feel the atmosphere, they feel that vibration, the peace, the love, whatever they feel. They're connecting with the atmosphere. But it's the job of the yogis, the mystics, to connect them with Shiv Baba. That's our job. And then they become mystics. But without our help, because we have to help Baba, without our help, it's hard for them. Yeah, so I'll stop. There were other things, but it's a lovely conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're looking for mystics, right? We are on the lookout for mystics, and if we're a mystic, they'll find it easier to recognize, yeah, what they're looking for. You're next.
My name is Arnoud from Holland, and we were in a group with four, with Frediano from UK and Sonia from Malaysia and Marion from Holland. And we started with this question, what experiences we already have with being a mystic, which was a new concept for most of us. And what came up was that this feeling of synchronicity is already there, and this feeling of coincidences. Everyone had this feeling of coincidences, actually. And also like different feelings that you know something is going to happen before, and it will be profound. Something profound is going to happen. So that was our starting question, and then we had this question in two years. What in 2 years? And then there was this image of being very light and close to Baba, but also someone who had this feeling, I have to do something. I want to do something about purity, making myself more pure, like that being a mystic is also this pure being with no any irregularities, any darkness anymore. And we also have this someone who said something about the truth and whether you can really get help or not. That Baba's mystic is also someone who is in deep connection with Baba, who's really doing the work in a sense. This real feeling of being forgiven, like we were talking about this morning, it's something which Baba does. And that's, so this connection is really important. So that's basically what we were talking about.
I'd like to come and share next. Is it Vietnam? Not Vietnam yet, just because we're going to bring Sen out. So any other groups? Any other? Yeah.
Om Shanti, I'm Katie from UK, and we was in a group of five, and we didn't really come up with a collective thing to share, but pulling together what everyone did share, I think what came up was courage and how everyone shared their stories, and in those stories were all elements of courage and deep enthusiasm or intoxication from Baba touching us and then going off and doing whatever it is we do on the service field. And I think the big thing was when we get that touch in, we do something that is quite courageous and quite out there and different, but in a really incognito way. So for me personally, I always thought that mystic people were those real wacky people with coloured hair and wings on their back and, you know, the little tutu fairy dresses that they wear. And I see lots of these in Enfield because there's lots of them around. So that to me was a mystical sort of person that had sort of witchy-like type sand scars, if you like. But it's not like that. It's so incognito. We're so ordinary. We're dressed normally when we're out of these whites. And no one would know that we're any different from anybody else. But yet we're doing something that is so different. And it's all because we get that connection from Baba. And we do think, like for myself, I travel an hour and a half to get to the centre where I go. Not every day. I'd be mad to do that, which I am, but... And so I do it three times a day, and I have the great fortune, three times a week, sorry, of staying at the centre when I do that. But on the days that I end up doing that, I then do a million and one other things in between and arrive back to pick my 11-year-old up from school, and no one would know half the stuff I've done in a day. And I love to keep that as incognito, and that's my side of what I do in my life, and no one else needs to know that. But it's only God that allows that to be possible. And we were sharing how time expands. So I may only have an hour and 15 minutes to do an hour and 30-minute journey, and yet I can still arrive at school 20 minutes early. You know, it's that sort of thing that happens.
You wonder how.
Yeah, it's the impossible.
Yeah. Lovely. Okay, who's the next mystic to share?
You partly already shared. In our group, we kind of worked on the definition of what is a mystic, and we came up with it is surrender, or someone who is listening to their own intuition rather than the logical thinking, and someone who is seeking an experience of God or their own divinity. And so we thought, well, actually, this describes quite well what we do with Raja Yoga, when we study Raja Yoga with Shiv Baba. I'm Barbara from Switzerland, but I also live in London.
Who else is left to share? Okay, the Vietnamese. So, Sen, can you come out and translate, please?
Yeah. Với em, chị Diệp, với em, đây là một cái vận may rất là xác thực, rất là thực tế và đồng thời rất là mầu nhiệm.
For me, that is really fortune, it's really accurate and magic.
Yeah. Trước tiên là cái vận may mình nhận được cái kiến thức của Baba qua Merly và cái thực tế là Manuban là hiện thực của mình.
That's the first thing I received Merly from Manuban, and the second thing that is magic I can come to Manuban.
Thấy được cái hành trình lịch sử của Baba trải qua cái phần mà quá trình người kết nối với Thượng Đế.
And here I understand the history about Brahma Baba, how he connect with God.
Yeah. Và cộng thêm là cái sự trải nghiệm của mình thông qua Raja Yoga. Mà Raja Yoga này rất là đặc biệt, là mình mở mắt, mình đi vào thực tế, mình có cái công cụ, có cái vai trò trách nhiệm và cái sự chuyển hóa bản thân mình để mình có được những cái thành tựu đón nhận được tình yêu của Thượng Đế.
The mistake is that here Raja Yoga we open eyes meditation, but we can get the touching in order to connect with God.
Yeah. Thì cái Merly á là nó hiện hữu cho cái năm cái thông điệp. Thứ nhất là meditation, là mở mắt, là mình có được cái trí tuệ, con mắt thứ ba. Cái thứ hai á là đây là trường học quốc tế, là dành cho mọi lứa tuổi. Cái thứ ba là relationship với một đấng tối thượng, và mình hiểu được người cho mình những cái quyền hạn, cái thừa kế được bình đẳng như nhau.
The mistake is that here we come to know ourselves and we have a connection with God. The third thing is that we have a international family.
Yeah. Cái thứ tư là mình lãnh đạo được bên trong, là mình nhận được những cái sự chuyển hóa thông qua Raja Yoga.
And the next thing is that I can control myself and the leader of myself.
Và mình thấy được là gia đình của mình là tất cả đều là anh em, con của một đấng.
And the mystic here is that I know that every one of us are brother and sister with each other and belong to one father.
Tôi nghĩ đó là những cái trải nghiệm chứng thực từ bản thân tôi. Còn các bạn như thế nào thì...
That is what I understood about mystic.
My name's Rose Kim, Rose Flower Baba Like.
Tôi thấy là các bạn cũng rất là thích thú khi lắng nghe tiếng Việt.
My name Y Cúc from Vietnam. Daisy Flower, that means Daisy Flower. Yeah. Yeah.
Her name is Daisy Flower.
Hồi xin dịch đi. Cái hiểu trong nhóm chia sẻ của chúng tôi, vậy cái trải nghiệm huyền bí đối với Baba nó xảy ra theo tôi á, và cùng nhóm á, là mỗi một BK chúng ta rốt cục rồi ai cũng sẽ trải nghiệm được cái điều huyền bí từ Baba hết.
For me, that everyone can experience mystic from Baba.
Bởi vì á là Baba trao chúng ta kiến thức về linh hồn và ta nhận biết Baba rồi, và ta khi mà ta thực sự là chính ta thì với cái sự khát khao, cái sự cháy bỏng và trong một cái tình huống trái ngang nhất, và nhiều lần ta kết nối với sự hòa đại của Baba rồi huyền bí nó sẽ xảy ra, nhiều hay ít mà thôi.
Because for me, that when I know myself very clearly and I connect with God, so many things happen in my life and I feel the magic in that.
Mấy bốn câu nha. Mọi người đang say giấc.
I want to tell the story in my room here because never like I experience have to share the room so many people. So everyone is sleeping.
Gió len vào khe cửa.
And the wind come into the window.
Cả phòng chợt thức giấc.
And the whole room wake up.
Hóa ra chiều dần buông.
And recognize that it is the time in afternoon have to wake up. Còn ai nữa không hết nha? Ngắn thôi nha. Hồng mới lát Hồng lên hát đi Hồng.
My group can nhóm của em thì nhận ra rằng là cái người thần bí là đối với chúng ta thì chúng ta luôn làm sạch bản thân mình, thì khi làm sạch mình thì để đón nhận Thượng Đế. Và
And I think the mystic is that I cleanse myself. When I clean myself, I can receive a love from God.
Thông qua cái routine, tức là cái chế độ hàng ngày như là Mariada của Baba, thì chúng ta càng ngày càng khác người thường đi và trở nên phi thường hơn. Bởi vì thông qua yoga với Baba, chúng ta luyện tập được tính co giãn trước những tình huống trái ngang và trở nên trắc ẩn, yêu thương. Vì vậy chúng ta trở nên khác người, cũng như từ mỗi ngày đẹp hơn từng chút một mỗi ngày.
Through our Mariada, we become different from the people outside, even those we are with them, but we become different.
Và với cái tính thần bí, em nhóm còn nhận ra rằng khi chúng ta nhận ra được cái cuộc đời này trước những tình huống trái ngang thì nó là một cái gì đó niềm vui thích, và nó có cái điều kỳ diệu cũng như logic và điều kỳ diệu trong những cái tình huống để giúp chúng ta nhận ra cái bài học và trưởng thành.
So with mystic, I feel that even in the challenge, I feel it's very intoxicated because I learned the lesson in order to grow up.
Rồi kỳ. Và đồng thời, đối với những chúng ta giống như là những anh hùng của cuộc sống, cuộc đời Baba đêm làm chúng ta trở thành những anh hùng, bởi vì chúng ta điếc mà không sợ súng trong những tình huống.
And Baba make me become heroine because even with the people outside, they say that the deaf people, they don't afraid of the noise of the gun. So we know that even something happen, we don't afraid.
Và vì không sợ hãi cho nên mình có thể làm được những cái điều kỳ diệu mà Baba nói là khi con có lòng can đảm và con dám bước một bước thì Baba sẽ giúp đỡ.
Because without faith we can do a lot of things, as Baba said that you just have a one step of courage and Baba will give you thousands of help.
Và một điều kỳ diệu mà làm chúng ta trở nên thần bí nữa là em thấy chúng ta không cảm, em không, ngay từ lúc sinh ra em đã không thuộc về thế giới này, và mình vượt thoát lên khỏi những cái điều mà tầm thường để hướng về những cái điều kỳ diệu nhất. Người đời thường thì người ta hướng về điều kỳ diệu là làm hấp dẫn người khác để gây chú ý, nhưng chúng ta hướng về điều kỳ diệu và giúp cho mọi người khác hướng về điều kỳ diệu nhất, đó là Baba. Và vào lúc cuối em tin rằng chúng ta sẽ trở nên những người rất, những thực thể cực kỳ đẹp để mang lại cái nhìn lợi ích cho thế giới.
So the mystic is that even when I was born, I feel that I don't belong to this world, and I feel that I separate from this world, and I believe that at the end, all of us can do the magic for the world.
Hồng.
Okay, Hồng. So the one sister, she wants to sing a song, okay?
We're going to be in the Daddy Janky Park, so I did want to...
She have many songs.
Oh, okay. Because I want to ask, okay, well, so I don't forget, if anyone has a song or a dance, we will have half an hour afternoon tea and a little Valentine's feeling, so love songs especially welcome. But after that, 4:30, we will have silence. So it's just a half an hour. And in the silence, we're going to walk around, sit, and you're all going to get a little slip of paper to think about, but in English, sorry, to think about, and you can exchange them with people as you go around. You know, you read it and then maybe you want to get a new one. So we're going to do that in the park. Or if you want to, if those who don't want to walk around...
Tại vì chiều nay có một nửa tiếng đồng hồ chúng ta sẽ có văn nghệ, do vậy bạn nào có văn nghệ múa hát gì thì đăng ký. Do vậy chỉ sợ Hồng hát sẽ hát, tôi nói là Hồng có nhiều bài hát lắm. Do vậy Hồng nên hát bài đi. Hát tiếng Anh đi, chiều nay hát tiếng Việt.
Those who don't want to walk around can also sit and, you know, one of the things we were going to do but our session was shorter is to let Baba write a letter to us. So you can do any of these things or read your notes that you're going to get before you leave.
Đưa tôi đến nơi đây thời kỳ vàng, và để tôi được trôi bồng bềnh trên dòng sông êm đềm. cho tôi được quay về, trở về nơi chỉ có hoa thơm ngọt ngào. Và rồi nơi đây, một nơi hạnh phúc, có yêu thương ngọt ngào. Golden eyes, everything's green. Golden eyes, golden eyes, everything's pure. Mang tôi đến mảnh đất thần thiêng, ở một nơi chỉ có thiên nhiên hiền hòa, có hương thơm trong làn gió mát, và dòng sông êm ái bình yên. Và rồi nơi đây, một nơi hạnh phúc, có yêu thương ngọt ngào. Golden eyes, golden eyes, everything complete. Golden eyes, golden eyes, everything pure.
Thank you. Thank you.